Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dylan Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll discuss big changes to Las Vegas nightclubs and buffets. But first, we turn our attention to the economic health of the Strip. The Cosmopolitan is turning too soon, and we'll be talking to a Vegas Inc. reporter about how it's doing. We'll also hear about the earnings for the Wynn Resort. Here I'm joined by reporter Steve Green, who's a business reporter for Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning.
So you recently sat down in sort of a rare interview with John Unwin, the CEO of the Cosmopolitan. What do you have to say?
John's pretty bullish on the future of the Cosmopolitan. As you recall, it opened in December 2010, right in the middle of the recession, and right after City Center had flooded the market with more than 5,000 hotel rooms a year earlier. So it was a terrible time to open. But they seem to be doing pretty well in terms of hotel occupancy, hotel revenue, food and beverage revenue, high nightclub revenue. And so their challenge has been to increase gaming revenue. And Unwin thinks that they're making good progress on that. And he feels like the property at some point could actually be profitable, which would be pretty newsworthy, you know, given the losses it sustained during the first 2 years of startup.
And this is, I mean, contrary to old Las Vegas where gaming was king, this is, the Cosmopolitan is sort of the poster child of the new Vegas where gaming is maybe the least profitable for them. How are they changing that with some high-end offerings or trying to change that?
Right. It was designed with a smaller casino floor than you would normally see. And it did not even have a poker room when it opened, which gives you an idea of, you know, how important gaming was compared to food and beverage. After it opened, they saw a need for more high-end, so they did open a high-end salon. It's kind of tucked away on the second floor. A lot of people haven't seen it, but it's very luxurious, and it's said to be doing well financially. But the bottom line, according to Unwin, is that it's okay if gaming has a lower percentage of revenue compared to the hotel and food and beverage, and that place can still be profitable because the hotel has such high rates, the restaurants are so popular. It's the highest grossing nightclub in the country. So he feels like that it's kind of it is a gaming resort, but gaming is not so important there. But he still thinks it can be profitable.
And you mentioned high room rates. They're about $250, whereas the average strip is hotel
$110. So they're right up there with Wynn, Bellagio, Venetian, and the luxury places at Caesar's Palace. And so it really is a luxury hotel.
And that fits their clientele. They're going not for the everyday traveler, but more of this sort of a curious class, they call them.
Right. They're going for the urban, hip, affluent person in big cities. And their goal was to bring people to Las Vegas who otherwise would not come because they just don't want to go to the usual place and go to the buffet and go see a show as we typically see. They want to have an entirely new experience, and it seems to be working.
Do you think that helps all of Las Vegas or just the Cosmopolitan? Do they leave and go elsewhere?
Yeah, it absolutely helps the entire Strip because they're going to walk over to City Center and they're going to walk next door to Bellagio, across the street to Planet Hollywood. So I think it's been a good addition to the city.
And do they gamble? I mean, is it viable that Cosmopolitan can boost their gaming revenue?
Yeah, these people gamble a little bit, not as much as the person who's going to come to Planet Hollywood or Bally's, because the Cosmopolitan is built to have a lot more amenities, while the Planet Hollywood, Bally's, Flamingo, those are your old-style gambling casinos.
Gotcha. And Deutsche Bank owns the Cosmopolitan, but apparently they might not want to own it forever.
Right. Yeah. Talking to Deutsche Bank, they say they've always considered it to be a financial investment, but not a strategic investment, meaning someday they hope to sell it at the right price. The question is whether anybody, you know, is going to come up with the right price.
What would the right price be? Do we have any idea?
I haven't heard of any estimates, but it costs $3.9 billion, and the fact that it's actually been losing money would indicate that it's worth less than that on the market right now, but, you know, 2 years from now, it might be a different story.
And what do you say? It's been losing money. It's doing better now. What do you think for the next 2 years or beyond?
Right. I think it's going to do better because they have the entire hotel open now. It opened with only, well, I shouldn't say only, it opened with about 2,000 rooms. Then they added more than 900, so about 50%. So with all the new rooms in place, visitation to Las Vegas is picking up. They seem poised to continue with a steady increase in revenue for all their business lines. And Unwin was telling us that they're getting a lot of repeat business. They have 150 meetings and conventions that have rebooked because they liked it so much. So they're going to have, you know, people coming to check it out, plus repeat business, plus anybody who's staying at Bellagio or City Center will likely stroll over and take a look at it as well.
They're also largely clear of some of the lawsuits they were facing with condo owners. What's the status of those?
Right. Yeah, when this opened in 2010, there were a lot of lawsuits because people had put down condominium deposits in 2006, 2007, and that was before the market cratered. After the market cratered, they did not want to pay, you know, $500,000 for a $200,000 condo. So there was a lot of litigation. They've resolved most of that. There's a few pending cases, but I think it puts a big headache behind them.
Well, great. It seems like Cosmopolitan's doing well. Let's turn towards the Wynn. They also got some good news last week. Their earnings came in, and it was a pretty rosy picture.
Right. Last week was the first earnings report for the third quarter, and the third quarter has been important because you'll recall that in the second quarter, kind of in the May-June period, the economy really started to get troubled. It had been improving and improving, and then people started to lose confidence at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter, about May or June. So we've been kind of waiting for these numbers. Wynn Resorts was the first to report last week for the Strip, and it did well in Las Vegas. Its net revenue, meaning sales, was up 12% to $388 million. The room rates, which are really important to Wynn, were up 2% to $244. And they're important because Wynn holds the line on rates. He doesn't want to sell rooms for $100 and get the wrong type of customer there. So the fact that he can increase his room rates to $244, I think bodes well for the high end of the Strip, which would include the Venetian, Palazzo, Bellagio, Cosmopolitan, you know, some of the luxury places at Caesar, some of the high end places at MGM Grand. So it seems to be a positive confirmation that the momentum in the Strip is continuing.
Do you think this is a sign of the times? Are we going to continue to see this upward trend?
At least for the high end. What we're worried about, what the gaming analysts are worried about, is the lower end. You know, the Boyd Gaming type people, the Station Casino type people, the Caesars Entertainment, MGM, MGM Resorts. You know, how did MGM Grand and Circus Circus do? How did Station Casinos with its local properties do, and Boyd with its properties? We're not sure about that because the local economy in Las Vegas remains troubled. The mid-market has not been rebounding as fast as the luxury market because Americans just don't want to spend money right now because of economic uncertainty.
And does the Strip have any bearing on how the local casinos do? You mentioned Boyd and Station.
Absolutely. As the Strip hires employees, and by the way, the Cosmopolitan has added about 40 gaming positions in the recently, they say, which I think is interesting. As those people are hired, they become locals gaming customers for Boyd and Station and Cannery and the JW Marriott and those type of places. So yeah, the Strip is extremely important for the what happens in the locals market.
Well, great, Steve. You'll have to keep us posted as more of these earnings come in and let us know how these mid-level and lower-level properties are doing.
We have a lot more coming, a lot more earnings.
Earnings season. Well, thanks, Steve. Steve Green is a business reporter for Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow his coverage at vegasinc.com and lasvegassun.com. You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. All right, switching gears, we're now going to talk about some changes on the Strip, from the nightclubs to the buffets, the way we party and eat. I'm here with Ron Sylvester, reporter for Vegas Inc. and The Sun. Welcome, Ron.
Well, hi, and I'm your reporter for partying and eating.
It's a good job. You can't complain.
No.
Well, let's start with Rain Nightclub. There's some news that made a lot of people sad recent weeks. Rain is going to be no longer.
Yeah, it shut down after Saturday night, in the wee hours of Sunday morning after their Halloween party. Rain Nightclub is no longer. It will technically open one more time for New Year's Eve, and it'll be available for people to rent out if they want to. But after the first of the year, they start demolition, and they're going to be working on a new nightclub for the Palms. But yeah, a lot of people were sad because Rain has quite a history to it. It's 11 years old and is credited with really putting Las Vegas on the map as far as the electronic dance music goes, and really setting trends for what contemporary nightclub and the nightclub scene in Las Vegas is today.
And you got a pretty surprising response, I think, and from social media and comments on our stories on Vegas Inc. and The Sun. People really upset that this club is going away. It's an important aspect of the nightlife scene here.
Yeah, I got some responses on Twitter from people like in Los Angeles and from people who are really hardcore, although I don't think hardcore is that's a type of music, but I mean people who are really into the dance scene were really upset about this. They were very sad to see Rain close because it was kind of a historical marker in that whole evolution of electronic dance. I know Rain was about 5 years ago one of the first nightclubs to kind of start the resident DJs and bring in the kind of superstar DJs and kind of switch over from what had been a very top 40 pop dominated kind of disco type of dance experience in nightclubs to DJs who are more entertainers, who have the special effects and the big, you know, confetti cannons and all that. And of course, you know, Rain had the cool special effects where they had the ring of you know, that shot out fire and fog and things like that, and you know, up above the dance floor, and so it made it more of kind of an entertainment experience rather than just go, let's, you know, drink and dance and listen to music. And I think to a lot of people who are in that scene, that Rain was a very historic it was a very historic place. It was almost to that crowd like you know, Vegas gamblers react when their favorite casino shuts down or changes or opens. So because they kept saying, well, they're opening a new place, and they said, yeah, but it's not going to be the same. So there's a very nostalgic feel for Rain.
And the Nine Group operates all the Palms clubs, including Rain. Why the decision to go with something new?
I think they just felt it was time to upgrade. You know, you know, while they have this kind of legendary status, they've been overshadowed in recent years by places like, you know, Marquee, which has become one of the most famous nightclubs in the U.S., the top grossing nightclub in North America, and that opened a couple of years ago. It's newer, it's shinier, and I just, you know, it's like everything else in Las Vegas, after 11 years, it's time for an upgrade. Plus, the Palms has been undergoing this big renovation. They've redone their rooms. If you walk into the Palms now, the center of the casino has a big curtain around it because they're you know, putting in a new center bar, which now that seems to be the new craze and trend, is everybody's got to have a brand new center bar in the middle of their casino. So It's part of that renovation. The Palms recently took over ownership of the Nine Group, and so now they kind of, own and manage all those places in there, except for a couple of restaurants, which is the One Group. Now we've got the One Group, now we've got the Nine Group, but they've redone their pool. It's part of a project to kind of shine up the Palms, because it's been around for a long time by Vegas standards. I always joke that if you've been open in Vegas for more than 10 years, you probably should get a National Historic Designation.
You're a dinosaur.
Places don't last that long. But instead of tearing things down and rebuilding them, they're starting to redo them. And so you instead of losing places like the Sahara, the Stardust, they'll just get remade over several times. And hopefully that's a trend, because people do, like we saw with Rain, they keep, they do have a connection with these places.
And about 50 workers are employed there. What's their fate? Have we heard what's going to happen with them?
Well, some of them, no, there's been no announcement and no indication about what's going to happen, although we do know that some of those 50 workers also work with other nightclubs at the Palms. The Palms has 3 nightclubs, so some of them work at Moon and Ghost Bar, and so I don't think it's really been figured out how it's all going to work yet. But if anybody knows, call me at the Las Vegas Sun and tell me.
Good pitch. Let's jump over to a different club. You mentioned the Sahara. That is in the process of becoming the SLS. And you recently sat down with Mio Danilovich, who works for Sam Nazarian in the SBE Group and runs the Hyde Bellagio. He's also going to play an integral role in a new club at SLS. What did he tell you about the plans for that property?
Well, Mio runs, he's vice president of operations for nightlife for SBE. So he oversees, all those nightclubs that they run from Beverly Hills to South Beach. So, as expected, he's going to be very involved in what happens at the new SLS. At the old Sahara, and I asked him about this, and he said that they're really working to come up with new new nightlife concepts that people may not have seen in Las Vegas before. One of the things, and I don't know how they're going to accomplish this, but they're really excited and working on it, is making the nightclub experience a more interactive, instead of just going and you go and you listen to the DJ and watch their show and dance, that they're trying to incorporate that into a more interactive experience. So instead of being like a show and an audience, the audience will be, part of that show. And, they're bringing back some of their original brands from Los Angeles into the new SLS. So we'll see, we'll see how all that works. It's going to take a while. He didn't get into a lot of details, simply because he said they're still in the planning and designing stages. And so construction will begin, it's still on tap to begin after the first of the year, and then it'll take a year they're just going to use the structure of the old Sahara, kind of the bones of it, and they're going to rebuild the outside and the inside and just make it a new place. And so as the year goes on, we'll start hearing more and more details about how they're going to do it. But he has really promised a new kind of nightlife experience for that SLS.
And Danilovich spent his time and really cut his teeth in Las Vegas at the Hyde at Bellagio. What did he learn there?
Well, one of the reasons, because SBE bought the Sahara property like 5 years ago, and then a year ago they opened Hyde before they announced what they were going to do with the Sahara. And he said one of the reasons they did that is because they wanted experience in running a business in Las Vegas, such as a nightclub, because the way it's done here is different than the way it's done in L.A. or Miami. One of the things he brought up in the interview was that, you know, in Los Angeles, at their clubs there, they depend a lot on repeat business, and people come in every week and they know each other, and it's more like a party with, you know, a kind of a community type of party. Here in Las Vegas, it's tourist oriented, so everybody's different. The people who were here, at the nightclub this week weren't even in town last week, and so. He said he learned a lot about how you have to lay out the nightclub, how, you know, you have to help just in the way you lay it out and people walk around to where they walk in and they feel a part of that party and they don't have to go searching for things. And so when you walk in to hide, I mean, you walk in and it's like you're almost in the middle of the dance floor, or at least you can go on the outer fringes of it, and you're like right there at the in the party, and they've got different ways to kind of walk around that, but throughout you are just kind of, you know, you're kind of in the middle of things. And in I know in other nightclubs that I've been to, sometimes you kind of walk in, you kind of feel on the fringes, and it kind of takes a little while for you to get in there. And so and understand what's going on. So he said they've really worked the way they've set up their things at Hyde to make that more inclusive, and in the different, they have different theme parties and different ways they kind of work things to so if somebody's walking in for the first time, they feel a little bit more included, and that's one of the big lessons they learned.
And at the SLS, it's going to be a shelter club, which has some significance to Sam Nazarian and Danilovich, right?
Yeah, that's the club that they first opened, that Sam Nazarian first opened in Los Angeles. And Mio was started working when he was still in college, started working as security for that shelter nightclub, and then rose up through the ranks to now he's vice president of operations. So that's kind of that's one of their big brands. That's one of their kind of name brands in LA. And now we're going to have a shelter nightclub in Las Vegas. So it'll be very, so that part will be very exciting too.
Great. Well, for those just joining us, you're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm talking to Ron Sylvester, one of our Las Vegas Strip and gaming reporters. Let's jump from clubs to food. There's lots of new yummy options out there on the Strip, and sort of a trend with new buffets. First, we had Caesar's Palace unveil their new Bacchanal buffet. Now we hear from Aria that they're closed down already their buffet. What's going on?
Well, the Aria shut down its buffet, and it's supposed to reopen by the end of the year. And they're working on redesigning it, new food, everything. And it was kind of interesting that happened right after Caesar's opened its Bacchanal buffet, which is the, new, expansive, redesigned 500-dish buffet.
Supposedly the biggest on the Strip.
The biggest on the Strip, and one of the better ones, because the food there is pretty amazing. And so I was kidding with one of the PR people who work at Caesar's Palace. When they first announced this, they said Caesar's Palace is redefining the Las Vegas buffet. And as the jaded reporter, I'm always like, yeah, that's PR hype. And then when you saw it open up, and you really would walk in there and realize, yeah, this is something new for Las Vegas. The dining areas are a little bit more intimate, and while you've still got the nine kitchens, and you've got and they're all open, and you can watch the chefs prepare the food. And you really kind of get a feeling that, hey, this is, you know, this is something new. And while it's a buffet, you can go over and you can sit at a table in one of the smaller dining areas and kind of feel like you're in a restaurant. And so it did kind of reimagine that. And then within weeks, the Aria had shut down, and they had announced that they're going to redesign. They don't have a lot of details available on that yet, but it'll be very exciting to see what they do. I saw the other day that the Cosmopolitan at the Wicked Spoon is hiring a new chef, so we might see some new food in there. And while the qualities of the buffet have been going up at places like the Wynn and the Bellagio, you know, we may be getting ready to see a real explosion to where our buffets in Las Vegas are closer to, you know, some of the celebrity chef restaurants that we're seeing. And, you know, and I'm hoping the prices remain, pretty competitive too, because...
I think the Caesars one's pretty reasonable as far as buffets go.
Yeah, I mean, you can get dinner there for $35, which is an all-you-can-eat of really good food, which, you know, you can go to, any restaurant in the Strip and drop $40 just on an entree, or a steak. And so, I think that's pretty good.
Well, and some of those other buffets, not to pick on anyone, but Wynn is like $50 for dinner. I mean, they're
right.
Significantly more.
Yeah.
And the line, we both have been there, and it's hours. I was there on a recent Friday night, and 7 o'clock, it was a 3-hour wait to get into the Caesars buffet.
Yeah, Caesars Palace, the buffet is like a rock concert. And it was. It's been upwards to 4 hours, I think, the first weekend that it opened. So, people are reacting really well to it. And I think that the Aria and other places are seeing that and saying, okay, what can we do to kind of compete with that? So I think we're maybe starting to see a new era of the Las Vegas buffet, from the old kind of eat as much as you can out of the trough before we go back to the casino, to some place that's really kind of a destination. And you make plans and you go to dinner at a buffet, and that's kind of interesting, because the buffet's always kind of had a really cool history here in Las Vegas. And if they can bring it up to these kind of high standards, then I think it'll really add to the whole visitor experience, when they come to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it adds to, and part and parcel to, the change from gaming to food and beverage being king on the Strip.
Yeah, so I mean, those are the revenue producers, and that's what we're talking about today, is nightlife and food.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much, Ron. Ron Sylvester is a reporter for Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow his coverage online at vegasinc.com and lasvegassun.com. This is Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the entire KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.